Thank you. I love that song. Oh, that's a good song. Amen. Well, if you'll take your Bibles this morning, and let me get my notes here so I can tell you where we're going to start. All right, let's go to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter number 1. Well, I told you wrong. Let's go to Acts chapter number 2. This is going to be on the radio. Not that part won't be, I guarantee you. You ought to really listen to the radio broadcast, because I'm much better there than I am live, I'll tell you what. Oh, every preacher's dream. Just take a sermon and clip out every mistake and every stutter, and I'll tell you what. My fear is they're going to hear me on the radio and hear me and then come and listen to me on purpose and think, this dimwit can't be the same guy I heard on the radio. He can't even put a sentence together. How come he's so polished on the radio? So, first, Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1 and verse... Am I there? Acts chapter number 2. Okay, Brother Klein, right now would be a good place to start. Amen. Sorry. Acts chapter number 2. One of these days I want to stop, because I know that I keep saying I'm going to do this. But right in the middle of the message, I want to stop and say hi to Rebecca and Derek. Just stop right in the middle and say, by the way, hi, Rebecca and Derek. Then just keep preaching, you know. Because I know that they get on the internet and listen to our messages out in Montana. But I don't know if anybody else understands what's going on there. But okay, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us as we give, Lord, some very simple, foundational, and yet absolutely important, Lord, instruction concerning this matter of where we go after we're saved, what we're to do after we get saved, Lord. And we are thankful, Lord, for the folks that have shown up here today. And Lord, you know my heart. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help to them. I can't do that just through my merit, Lord, or my knowledge, my wisdom. Lord, I just want to be able to rightly divide and correctly impart to them the Word of God. Because Lord, if they get the Bible, they're going to get something that's divine and eternal and life-changing. So help us, Lord, as we preach the Word of God, that you would, Lord, stir hearts. If there be someone here that's without Jesus as their Savior, I pray that you would help them to embrace the Savior today, Lord, to come to him, Lord, knowing that they're that sinner in need of salvation, and that today they would be born again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. We've been preaching on Sunday mornings a series entitled, I'm Saved, Now What? I'm Saved, Now What? The first Sunday, we talked about the importance of a public profession. Tell it. I'm saved, now what? Tell it. On the second Sunday, we preached about the importance of following the Lord in believers' baptism. And I'm saved, now what? Be baptized. Be baptized. This week, we're going to preach on this message, I'm saved, now what? Join up. Join up. Join up. We're going to talk about the importance of having a church home, the importance of church membership. I'm going to give you a very a simple Bible message. We're going to stay right with the Scriptures. This is going to have in some way the semblance of a Bible study. So keep your Bibles handy. But you know, if you're going to get grounded after you're saved, then you need to just learn to go through the Bible, see what it says, and incorporate those life-changing principles into your life just as quickly as you learn them. Hey, if you're going to get saved, why not just go all the way for the Lord? Amen? And I think as you get saved and as the Lord saves you, you ought to begin to learn everything you can so that you can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so that you can be the most effective Christian that you can possibly be. I'm glad that after my mom and dad got saved, they just immediately acclimated our family into a Bible preaching local New Testament church. I can't tell you how valuable of a decision that was. You know, people that get saved and then they seem to struggle with this matter of church attendance or of even joining themselves to a church. I want to be a blessing to you and I want to encourage you, because let me say this, you will never grow as you ought to grow apart from the local assembly. You're just not going to do it. I have the fondest memories. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, I was 5 years old when my parents got saved. And I'm so thankful for that. You know, before you're five, you don't have a whole lot of things that are really deep, impressionable memories. And I really have no recollection of anything other than attending the house of God. I'm so glad about that. I mean, from the time I was five on through, my mom and dad, they got saved, and they just plugged us into a local church. And there was times because of situations, and a few times the Lord moved my dad and mom, that we had to leave one church and go to another one. But you know, the honest truth is, there was never an in-between time. Did you hear that? There was. I'm just saying, by the grace of Almighty God, there wasn't an in-between time. And I think that maybe only eternity will reveal how important that was in developing me and preparing me to one day be called into the gospel ministry. Now, I want to give you 6 reasons why every born-again Christian needs a church home. 6 reasons why every born-again Christian needs a church home. Let me give you number one. Number one, it is the second step of obedience after you are saved. It is the second step of obedience after you are saved. Now, last week we talked about the first step of obedience, and that is after you get saved, you should be baptized. But let me tell you something, there's not a break in the action. You'll see that the Bible consistently says, get saved, get baptized, be added to the local assembly. Get saved, get baptized, put yourself under the teaching of all of the things that you need to learn. Listen, right after salvation, baptism, acclimation into the church, put yourself in a local assembly, because that is the Bible pattern. Verse number 41 of Acts chapter 2, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, their salvation and baptism. Notice this, in the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were added into the local assembly. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now this is the way it ought to happen. A salvation at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and a baptism at Blessed Hope Baptist Church should automatically add one to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let me say that again. A salvation at Blessed Hope Baptist Church plus a baptism at Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to automatically add one to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Oh, Pastor Ross, can you imagine if folks would have just followed that simple Bible principle through the years? I'll tell you this, we would never contain the folks that should be here in this congregation through the years. And listen, it's important to get saved. Eternity is determined by your decision to accept Jesus Christ. It's important to get baptized. I think that getting started out in the right direction, just obeying that first command. But folks, listen to me. If you stop there, there are hundreds of thousands of other things that you need to learn as a Christian. And where you're going to learn them is by faithfully attending the house of God, putting yourself into a local assembly, setting under the teaching and preaching of God's word, getting under and around the influence of godly people. That is necessary for every single Christian. It is the second step of obedience after you are saved. Let me take you to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll read a very familiar verse in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 25. And again, we have here Bible instruction, a Bible command concerning the importance of assembling together with born-again believers in the local church faithfully on a regular basis. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, this is very important because the Bible says, listen, folks, listen, Christians, don't forsake this matter of assembling yourself together. Now, I had this very conversation this week. I'm not sure there's too many weeks of the year that I do not have a similar type conversation where somebody will claim to have been saved and will tell me they follow the Lord in believer's baptism and then will begin to use excuses why it is unnecessary to faithfully assemble with other born-again believers. Now, you cannot believe that and hold to that and also believe what the Bible says because they are two opposite views. You know, the old story about, well, you know what, I can go out in the woods, or I can ride my horses, or I can go fishing on the fishing bank on Sunday morning, and I can fellowship with God just like anyone else can fellowship with God. Well, let me tell you, you can be saved, and you can be baptized, and you can go out there on Sunday morning in direct disobedience to this verse who tells you not to forsake the assembling of yourself together. And you know what? You're going to try to fellowship with God in a disobedient state. And what the Holy Spirit of God will say to you while you're out there in the deer stand or in the fishing boat or riding your horse or whatever you're doing, going to your ball game. If you try to fellowship with God instead of being in church, what you're going to hear from God is, what in the world are you doing here? You're supposed to be in the local assembly. The Holy Spirit of God will have one message for you while you're trying to fellowship with Him, and that is, get to church. Get to church. Get to church. Get to church. Stop disobeying my word. Stop disobeying the scriptures. Get to church. Yes, you can fellowship. I don't know if you want to call it fellowship. You can communicate with God in that condition, but I will tell you what God will be communicating to you, the same thing that He says in His word. Because you're not going to tell me that God's word says one thing, but the Spirit of God tells you something else. Folks, listen to me. That is blasphemy. That is blasphemy to suggest that God has made an exception for you, that this part of His word doesn't apply to you, and that God's perfectly happy. I'm so tired of people telling me and God have an agreement. You see, me and God kind of wink at you. Me and God have this agreement. You know, you don't make a deal with God. What you do is you read the Bible and you obey Him. That's the deal. He wants complete and total obedience, and He does this for a reason. He's got a reason for this. He's got a plan for this. He knows it's for your good. He knows it's for your betterment. He knows you will not live a victorious Christian life away from or outside of the local assembly. So number one, it's the first step of obedience after you are saved. Number two, it allows you to follow the example set by Jesus Christ. Now let me take you to Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 16. Luke chapter number 4 and verse 16. And folks, I know that I'm preaching to the people that are here. Yeah, I know that. You say, Brother Jerry, I'm here. All right, good. But be faithful to the local assembly. Be faithful to it. Don't forsake it. Don't allow yourself to start hit, miss. Don't do that type of thing. Stay right in the local assembly. God has reasons for it. And let's look at those reasons. Number one, it's the second step of obedience after you're saved. Number two, it allows you to follow the example set by Jesus Christ. I love this, and I'm just going to hit this real quickly. But chapter 4 of Luke, verse number 16, it says, "And he," speaking of Jesus, "and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." Now, as his custom was. Folks, you know what that means, I think. I know what that means. It means it was his habit of life. He didn't wake up and say, "I wonder if I ought to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day." No, he said, "It's already decided. I've got a lifetime commitment, a lifetime habit. I'm going to listen. When they open the doors, I'm going to be there." And Jesus had established that pattern all through his life, so it wasn't hard for him at this point. When he came to Nazareth, the head over to the old home church and attend the services, you see. Now, here's what people say. Well, you know what? You can be a Christian and not go to church. And you know what? That's actually not true. Boys, no talking down here. That's actually not true. You can be saved and not go to church, but you cannot be a Christian and not go to church. Let me say that again. You can be saved and not go to church, but you cannot be a Christian and not go to church, because the word Christian means Christ-like, you see. And if you're going to be like Jesus, then you're going to follow the pattern that he set down for us in the scriptures. Listen, Jesus, he set a pattern. He didn't just come to die for us. He came to show us how to live. And he had a pattern, a habit of life. And that was this. You know where I am? When the church doors are open, I'm there. I'm right in my spot. I just can't imagine Jesus being a hit-miss church attender. And maybe you think you can prove that, but I don't think you can. God claims as one of his name, faithful. Faithful. When Jesus comes back, it's going to be plastered on his breastplate, faithful and true. You know, faithfulness is important to God, and I think faithfulness also ought to be important to us. Now, let me say this again. You can be saved and not come to church and miss church, but you cannot be a Christian. And if your purpose in life, the most important thing in your life, is to be like Jesus Christ, then church attendance, faithful church attendance, will just be a given. It'll just be a given. You see, I've put the life of Jesus Christ under the microscope for these many years. Years ago, I decided that I wasn't just satisfied being a child of God. I wanted to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is my master. And because of that, I put his life under the microscope. And I try to find everything that he did, everything that he didn't do, where he went, why he went, when he went, what he said, why he said it. And you know what? As best I can every day of my life, I try to mimic my master. I want to be a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I settled this a long time ago. If Jesus had a lifetime habit of attending the synagogue, then I'm going to have a lifetime habit with the grace of God and the providence of God of attending the local assembly. And so, number two, it allows you to follow the example set by Jesus Christ. Number three, you need... You say, Brother Jerry, give me another reason why every born-again Christian needs a church home. You need the Christian fellowship and watch care that comes with having a church family. You need the Christian fellowship and watch care that comes with having a church family. Now let's go back and revisit Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Let's revisit that, because this little portion of Scripture is really quite amazing. I wish I had time to systematically, phrase by phrase, verse by verse, teach from verse 41 of Acts chapter 2 to the end of the chapter. I'm going to ask you to do that, read that, maybe later on as the Lord so impresses you. But let me say this. Every born-again Christian needs the Christian fellowship and watch care that comes with having a church family. Verse number 42, and they continued. Now notice in verse 41, the end of it, it says that there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Then verse 42, you ought to underline this. Boy, you ought to make this a pattern of your life. And they continued steadfastly. Steadfastly. Listen, but you know what they said? Hey, I've been born again. This is a new life, a new beginning. You know what? I've set my face like a flint. I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Part of that means that when the church doors are open, I'm walking through them. That's what it means. You see, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, folks, there's a lot of things that just you get by almost osmosis by hanging around the church. You learn from other Christians. You'll go to somebody and say, I've got a burden. And could you pray with me about this? And they'll stop right there and pray with you. And you'll say, that's amazing. Now, all the problems I've ever had in my life and all the times I've tried to share it with somebody else, and no one's ever stopped and prayed for me. Wow, this is a neat place. You see, there's a fellowship that's enjoyed. Terry Morse, that was here the other night, he was here and we were trying to get him packed up and get him headed on down the road. He had a distance to travel that night. And he looked around and he smiled, because church had been over for a half hour and there were still a lot of Baptist people in here. You know, some of you are just hard to get rid of. You're just hard to get rid of. And he smiled and said to me, he said, look at this, Pastor. He said, this is one of the signs of a good church. People don't want to leave. People don't want to leave. You know what? I like the fact that our folks fellowship before the service. I like the fact that our folks fellowship after the service. Hey, take a little bit of time and listen, don't trample. Look, some Baptist churches, the most dangerous place to be at the closing amen is in front of the back door. You can be trampled right down. You can be trampled to death right there. People rushing to get out of here. Wait till the last second to slide in, and then as soon as the amen rush out, man alive, I don't know about you, but this is the kind of place I like to be. I like to come here, and it's a little hard to get me out of here sometimes. I like the fellowship of Christian brothers and sisters. Can I share this with you? Let me just give you a little something to think of. In verse number 44, it says, "And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need." You know, let me just say this, and I hope I'm not going to be misunderstood. And I don't think there's anybody in this community that's tried to get help that can point and accuse this church of being uncompassionate. But let me just say this, folks. People call in all of the time here, and they want help. They want help with utilities. They want help with their rent. They want help with groceries. They want help with this. And I always ask them the same question: where do you faithfully attend church? Where do you faithfully attend church? And you know what? I'll just tell you my personal experience. I have never got an answer yet from somebody who said, "I am a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night attender of such and such church, and I'm calling you because I have this need." I will talk to these folks on the phone. By the way, there's Pastor Ross has done over the years. I've seen him many, many, many times. And if I've seen it many times, I imagine he's done a lot of times when I haven't seen it. I've watched him take money out of his own pocket. I've watched him go down and put gas in people's cars. I've watched him do it out of his own pocket. And folks, pure Christianity does some of that. But I plead with them on the phone. I said, "Folks, listen, you know, let me just share this with you. People want a Band-Aid. They want a quick fix Band-Aid. You see, and I'll explain to them, I'll say, you know, we don't have in our budget just money that anybody that calls in, we go down and pay their utility bill. Anybody that calls in, we go down and pay their rent. Anybody, I said, but let me tell you this, whatever monies are available that we would have for that, we will, number one, first of all, care for the people that are right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That makes sense. That's what they did in the book of Acts. And I tell them, listen, if you were a regular, faithful, a part of a local assembly, then you know what would happen when you had a need? If that assembly done right, they would help you. Now, by the way, Paul dealt with this matter even in writing the local churches, warning the local churches to watch out for men or women who would not be willing to work and just wanted to live off the church. So there's that side of it too. But I'm talking about people that are trying. I'm talking about people that are working towards something. I'm talking about people trying to get on their feet. Hey, we're more than happy to help. But you know who we're going to help first? The people right here that faithfully attend Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I say to them on the phone, listen, if you have a church home and you have a church family and you have a pastor, if you had those things, then you could go to them and you could get some help. Listen, I'm sorry, folks, but most people, the only time they want the church involved in their life at all is when they've got their hand out and they want some of our money. Now, they want to hang out with the wrong crowd, and they want to hang out down at the bar, and they want to run with the party crowd, but let them have a need, and they want to call Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Well, I hope you don't think I'm being uncompassionate, but you know what? Why don't they go down to the tavern and ask that guy to help on their utility bills? Why don't they go to the party crowd, all of their friends, and get help from them? How come they're calling the church? I'll tell you why. Because Christians take care of Christians. You see, and you know, the world could care less whether you're starving to death. The world could care less whether or not you have a need. And I see this in the local church. Now listen, you ought to be a part of a church home, a regular part of an assembly, because you need the Christian fellowship. You need the right hand of fellowship. You need the encouragement. You need people praying for you, and you need to do that to other people. And you need also to be in a place where if you do have, I'll tell you, the Bible plan for helping folks isn't welfare. The safety net for society is the local church. But you know what? I could take to the Bible and show you this. We're under no obligation to help people who are not a part of the local church.
Amen.
Newsflash. You know, people don't want anything to do with God except they want the church's money. Shame. Okay? I mean, you know, that's not the way it works. Check out the widows that are supposed to be helped and taken care of. Amen. We're not any obligation. Oh, well, there's widows here, brother. There's widows. And they have this need and that need. I'm a compassionate guy. I'm probably more times not just, even if I have to do it out of my own pocket, I'm going to try to help somebody. But let me just say this. We're not no Bible obligation. Folks want to spend their life living for the devil, become a widow, and then want the church to take care of them? And by the way, could you deliver the stuff? You know. Yeah, I've got groceries for you. We'll buy you a whole week's worth of groceries. Come Sunday morning, you can pick them up. Well, can't you bring them by? Well, we don't have a car. Oh, are you in luck? We have 4 bus buses and 2 vans that scour every neighborhood in this community. We'll even come by and provide free transportation. Well, could you just bring the stuff? Now, I know some of you are going to leave here and say, Brother Jerry, you don't care about poor people. You know what I care about? I care about the same thing God cares about. I care about people getting right with God. I care about people truly getting saved. I'm talking about after they get saved, get baptized. After they get baptized, join a church! And you know what? You'll find out, and I see it all the time around here, that God's people takes care of God's people. There's people in this room that have been on the side where you've needed some help and somebody's helped you. And you've also been on the side where you've seen somebody else need help and you've helped them. Can I tell you that? This? That's exactly the way it's supposed to be. I think one of the greatest things about being saved is having a church family. Somebody kind of watch over each other, take care of each other, amen? Number four. You need to sit faithfully under the teaching and preaching of God's Word. 6 reasons why every born-again Christian needs a church home. You need to sit faithfully under the teaching and preaching of God's Word. Now, we talked about this in the Great Commission. We're to go on all the world and preach the gospel. Then we're to baptize them. Then we're to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded thee. Now, what that means is you're supposed to get saved. You're supposed to get baptized. And then you're supposed to park yourself underneath the teaching and preaching of God's Word so that you can grow in grace. Amen. Let me have you go to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. And verse number 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith is going to grow as you sit underneath the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I'm going to show you something that I think is very telling, very revealing. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 18. Let's talk about the preaching of the Bible, the preaching of the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Now, let's just stop right there and absorb that. Can we just stop and absorb that? Did you hear that? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. Now, them that perish are on the path to destruction are the lost people. Okay? And to them, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Notice this. Something happens when you get saved. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Man, you can't wait to get there. You know why? Because when you have your Bible open and you're listening to what the preacher said and you're absorbing, you're growing, you're learning, it's exciting. You see. And let's go now quickly to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Well, there's more I want to cover, but we're going to get through this list here this morning in a timely fashion. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Watch this. As newborn babes, you ought to underline that next word, desire. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, let me tell you something. There's one thing that we've got some new babies around here. And I think Samantha Joe was here. Did she have to take her home? She's back there with her. All right. Brother Jeff, I know she's the most beautiful baby that God ever created. I know that. I know you have no doubt about that. And she coos and goos and we'll do all kinds of fun things. But let me tell you something. You do not have to teach that baby how to cry when it's hungry. I don't care how sweet of a baby it is. If they are hungry, they are going to let you know about it in no uncertain terms. You know why? Because they want that bottle. They want that bottle. They want the milk of the... Now listen, newborn babes in Christ, newborn Christians, they're the same way. Someone, I'm just going to say this. One of the evidences of a true conversion is a hunger, a desire to learn the Bible. You see. And so, it's not a matter of getting saved and getting baptized. Woo, good, got my ticket. I think I've got my fire insurance. I don't have to go to hell now. Now I'm going to go back out and live just like I did before and never had any intention of doing anything different. Folks, listen to me. You did not repent. You did not repent. Because repentance is a change of direction. Repentance is a change of mind. Listen, you turn from your sins to Christ. It doesn't mean that you become perfect, but you do go a new way. Now don't tell me that a baby is going to be born and not cry for milk. Okay? And so, well, Brother Jerry, so-and-so and so-and-so, where are they? I don't know where they're at. Well, have you visited them? Oh, yeah. I go after them, go after them, and go after them. But after a while, you say, do you go after them anymore? No. Well, I do. I start going after them with the gospel. You see. Because after a while, folks, listen to me. This matter, I don't understand this. This is hogwash. Matter of getting saved, getting baptized, and have no... Listen, we didn't have to... We had to encourage them a little bit, like I had to encourage everybody. But we didn't have to go after Tim and Angie Sagersee and time and time and time and beg on our knees just to get them to come to church after they got saved. When they got saved, they wanted to be here. And Ron Allen got saved. We didn't have to go over there and beg and beg and beg and beg. You know why? Because babies want milk. Babies want milk. Now, folks, listen to me. Are you saved? And then have you followed the Lord and believers' baptism. Then hook into the church. Join the church. Show up Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Put your bib on and just spoon it in. Get all you can get, you see. Because you need the teaching and preaching of God's word. It is what is going to build your faith. Now everything in the world will try to get in front of your church attendance. I guarantee this is true. I think that there are people that truly got saved, got baptized, and started, but the devil started coming to them. You know what's amazing? How many times you'll get offered a job right after you get saved and baptized where you have to work every Sunday? How many times all of a sudden the family members in the house want to start putting pressure on you? Well, you don't spend enough time, and you don't come to this, and you don't come to that. You have to go 3 times a week? What's wrong? You need to be in church. Your children need to be in church. Get them under the preaching and teaching of God's word. Now listen, take a stand here. Good night. Are you saved or aren't you? Then get in church and sit under the teaching and preaching of God's word. Number 5. I'm saved now what? Join the church. Join the church. Number 5. It enables you to obey the Lord Jesus in the observing of the Lord's Supper. Let me have you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. By the way, this is not a small sideline point. This is a major thing if you study this throughout the Bible. One of the reasons that we ought to assemble is from time to time we have a responsibility, a command given us by the Lord Jesus Christ to from time to time us in the assembly to observe the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now look up here, church. This is one of the two ordinances that the church, the local church, is entrusted to perform. By the way, it's very important that you understand that this is a local church ordinance. A local church ordinance. Years ago, Youth for Christ had a big meeting, and at that meeting, they held a big rally on a Friday night, and they had all these people come, and then they served communion. No, they didn't. They served refreshments. The Youth of Christ is not a local church. This is a local church ordinance. Why is it inside of us that we always just think there's some things, you know, we can do anything outside the church that you can do inside? No, you can't. God said you couldn't. You can do it, but it's not significant to have a meeting. Are you listening to me? You ought to be baptized in a local assembly. You ought to observe the Lord's Supper in a local assembly. Well, I don't think that's necessary. I think no, you're supposed to be baptized by an ordained minister in the local assembly. You'll never find the book of Acts anyone being baptized other than by an ordained minister in the local assembly. You know why? Because the church is important to Jesus Christ. You take the Lord's Supper, you're supposed to do it in the local assembly. Well, I just don't go to church. And you're not taking the Lord's Supper, and you're not doing what he commanded you to do. Well, I can do it at home. No, you can't. I like it this quiet. No, I like it. Let it sink in. We just get in our mind that church is just kind of take or leave. If it works out, fine. If not, we can just study the Bible and preach and drink grape juice and eat crackers at home. And you can't. Not being obedient to the scriptures. There's two church ordinances that were entrusted to the local church. Baptism. By the way, it's in our constitution. Baptism. It's in every correct biblical constitution. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Those are local church ordinances performed by the local church in the assembly of the local church. And if you're not going to church, you know what you're not doing? You're not observing the Lord's Supper. You're not observing the Lord's Supper. It's important. I think one of the sweetest times at Blessed Old Baptist Church is when we take some time and we just quiet everything, quiet our hearts, and drive all of the worries and everything that's distracting us and say, you know what, for a few minutes we're just going to think about our wonderful, lovely Savior. We're going to think about the fact that his body was broken for us. We're going to think about the fact that he shed his blood for us, and we're going to obey one of his last wishes. And that's to do this on a regular basis in remembrance of him. It's very important. Number six, let me finish with this. Number six. Six reasons why every born-again Christian needs a church home. It allows you to accomplish through the assembly what you would never accomplish alone. It allows you to accomplish through the assembly what you would never accomplish alone. I was on the phone with a buddy. He doesn't live in this area. And he's at a church. He's at a church, and I've talked to him about his salvation. I got on him this week. I got after him pretty hard this week. I said, listen to me. There's a church somewhere that you're supposed to be a part of, and you're robbing them of what you could do and what you could be through that assembly by not attending. Number one, he's not tithing. You're not going to church. You're not tithing. Number two, you're not showing up, putting in your... Listen, you know, could you imagine if everybody that claimed to be truly saved, that's not in church, would this week get right with God, and that's what it would be, get right with God, and go and join themselves to a soul-winning, separated, Bible-preaching Baptist church. I mean, we wouldn't have room for everybody. But they are, well, everybody wants to go out and do their own thing. No. Now listen, this is wonderful. Wednesday afternoons, you ought to just show up. You got to get a Wednesday off sometime, just show up. Just jump on the bus with them young people and go to one of these communities and watch them knock on doors and cover and canvas a community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's really something. Now, I can take 35, 40 teenagers, and we did it for years, and go to these neighborhoods and knock on these doors, and we'll come cover hundreds, and in an hour and a half, 2 hours, we will cover hundreds and hundreds of doors and deliver the gospel to hundreds and hundreds of homes for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can go by myself to that same neighborhood, and in an hour and a half, I won't accomplish a drop in the bucket, or any one of those kids on that bus can go by themselves to that same neighborhood, and they won't cover a drop in the bucket of what was accomplished because they did it through the assembly. Amen. Because they did it through the assembly. I can take my money and I can say, well, I'm not going to give it to the church. I'm just going to disperse it myself, and I'm going to try to do things for God with it myself. And you know what? The honest truth is, my tithe on my income and my offerings on my income is going to accomplish very little. But it's amazing when there's a reason God said collect it in the assembly. Because everybody's little becomes a lot, and we can do powerful things with it. Are you listening to me? There's a reason for the assembly, you see. It allows you to accomplish through the assembly what you would never accomplish alone. Let me just tell you the story, and I'll close instead of turning there. Acts chapter 1 and 2, I think, are absolutely pivotal in understanding the New Testament church. 120 disciples of Jesus on his command, before they went soul winning, assembled in the upper room. I think because the assembly is important. They were commanded to pray. I think because prayer is important. They were commanded to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I think that's important. And then 120 of them in one place, in one accord, then were filled with the Holy Spirit of God and left as a group and went out and began to canvass and stop people and talk and tell about the gospel of Jesus Christ, both personally and finally Peter, after a crowd was gathered, got up and publicly preached. So through private soul winning and public preaching, 3,000 people came to Christ that day. You know why? Because they did it as an assembly.
Amen.
They did it as an assembly. And I want to encourage you, boy, listen, join up. Get on board. Participate. Stop being the lone ranger. You know, one of the things you got to get used to if you're part of the assembly is the fact that all of the spotlight and credit doesn't go to one person. I think that's why some people don't want to become a part of the assembly, work within the structure of the assembly. Because if they do this out by themselves, by the way, it won't amount to much, but at least they'll get all the credit. Join in the assembly. Join in the assembly. Get involved in the local church. Get involved in the ministries of the local church. Folks, we've got plenty going on around here, and we need laborers, and pray for laborers every single day that God would send laborers to the harvest. And so if you're a part of the assembly, then listen, get in and get involved. You know, I was going to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Did I already tell you to turn there? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. Now get this, and I'm closing. You know what we need? We need all of the body parts to come together. You know, there's an ear out there by itself trying to function alone apart from the body. There's a little finger every once in a while you'll see go by, you know, and he's out there trying to do a work for God. Why don't you just join in and be a part of the body? If all the body assembles and all of it works and fits in its unique position and part and uses its talents and gifts according as God has given them and everybody gets involved, it's amazing how much can be done. You know, there's a big toe out there by itself somewhere. I know where there is one big toe by itself out there. Are you listening? Thank God for the local church. Thank God for the local church. I'm saved, now what? Join up! Why? It's the second step of obedience after you're saved. It allows you to follow the example set by Jesus Christ. You need the Christian fellowship and watch care that comes with having a church family. You need to sit faithfully under the teaching and preaching of God's Word. It enables you to obey the Lord Jesus in the observing of the Lord's Supper, and it allows you to accomplish through the assembly what you would never accomplish alone. And so there's all kind of ministries in this church, and there's more than enough for people to do through the ministries of this church. Why don't you come join up? We need the help. I'll tell you right now, we need help in so many different areas. There's so many things that would run smoother and would accomplish more and go farther and reach more people if we just had people that would do it. I was going to mention this tonight, and I'm kind of hesitating, and I don't know what to, you know. Brother Johnny Waterman came to me this 2 weeks ago and said, Brother Jerry, I'm going to let you pray about it, and you say whether or not you want to do it or whatever. But he said, you know, we've got some guys coming over to the jail. He said, Brother, And this is sad. This is a sad reflection of society. He said, it's getting to the point where sometimes we have almost as many women as we have men. And he said, I know it's a difficult mission field. I know it's a tough circumstance, he said, but he said, we need ladies that'll go into the jail. And all you'd be going into is block cell blocks full of lady inmates. You say, well, that's not for me. Well, I'm not trying to tell you it is. I'm just saying there's an opportunity. Somebody needs to pray about that. You know, there's more things right now that needs to be done than we've got. You know, I let me just give you this. I'm just going to bare my heart, and this won't be on the radio broadcast. Blessed Oak Baptist Church, if you're visiting, okay, the service is done. But Blessed Oak Baptist Church, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm pleading with you. We need all hands on deck. We need all hands on deck. The workload of this church should not be carried by 15, 20, 25% of the membership. We need you to not only step up and serve, but we need you to do it with the type of spirit where we can use you. Well, I've tried it before, and you've got to be teachable and you've got to be rebukable. And you can't be some wild Indian that's going to do it your way and going to, you know, rub everybody wrong that's around and stir up strife and trouble, and then when you have to be removed, it's our fault you're not serving. Baloney. There's things that need done. There's things, and there's sometimes I'll get the membership list out, and I've got something that I know, and I look through it, and I either can't find anybody qualified, or if they were qualified, they wouldn't be willing if I asked them. Say, how do you know? Because we've asked before other things. We put the plead out. You know, folks, somewhere between 6 and 6:45, I need the membership praying. We desperately need to pray. Those two rooms shouldn't be able to hold them. You know, we need you involved. Ministries, we can't run buses for Master's Club. I mean, we may run one, I think. And I think Randy picks up a few, but we've had to cut down. You know why? We don't have the helpers. You know, when we build this building, we're going to need Sunday school. We need to split 5 or 6 Sunday school classes. Can I find 5 or 6 qualified teachers that'll dress right, act right, be faithful to church, listen to the preacher, take rebuke if they have to take rebuke, be taught if they need to be taught? We got it. We need laborers. We need this church to become important to the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay? God stirred my heart. Okay? This is part of the rebuking and reproving process a pastor's supposed to do. I'm doing it with all long suffering, but I'm pleading, I'm pleading, I'm pleading. This ministry and ministries all over this church need to go forward. But we've got to have people that will have a heart to serve and a desire to serve and can be teachable. And if necessary, if the pastor has to say, you're not going to do it that way, you have to do it this way, we'll have the right spirit about it instead of throwing a little hissy fit. We need mature Christians that are ready to serve. Are you listening? I'm pleading with you. Well, Brother Joe, I got this going in my life. I got that going in my life. Well, you know what? I've got a few things going on in my life, too, if you haven't noticed lately. Okay, I carry some burdens, too, but I haven't quit on God. I've got as many excuses as any of the rest of you have. And more than most. But I didn't tune it down. I've tuned it up. Amen. Right. I told the devil, you want a war? You got one. But you got to have an army. You got to have an army. Are you listening? Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts, God. In a time when we need folks joining up, we've got them bailing out. In a time when we need the troops advancing, we've got them retreating. Lord, thank you for the faithful. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you just stir us, God. Stir my heart, Lord. Help me to Help me to get a fresh vision. Help me to reevaluate some things even in my own life. Help us to see the need. Help us to find a place and a part and do it faithfully. I pray, Lord, that you'd use this church, Lord, in 2006. So we've got a spring forward campaign coming up next 4 weeks. Is anyone going to do any extra, anything different than they would any other week? Is it just another thing on the calendar? We got revival meeting coming up. Is it just another thing on the calendar, another thing to endure? Oh, well. God, help us to get excited about the work of God. Help us to reenlist. Help us, the Lord, to have a fervor and the right spirit and a willingness to work together with and within the local church to accomplish the mission you have given the local church to accomplish. I pray, God, you speak to our hearts about that. Let me, Lord, I want to be an encouragement to those new converts out there, Lord. I don't want to discourage them. And Lord, I know that many of them are learning. They're taking steps. And I'm proud of them. And they're heading in the right direction. I don't want this to be a discouragement to them. I want this to be an encouragement to them to take that next step and just go on for the Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed.